The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Yom Hulede Tzameach, Mazal Tov.
Thank you. Thank you very
happy much. Birthday and many, many more. We won't recall our conversation yesterday about the no hair story.
Exactly.
Because today we've moved on to something bigger and better and really something to celebrate. So I hope your day is fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Right. Let's talk about what's going on in Israel.
Let's talk about a few snippets before we get into the main things. I just wondered, you know, we're getting to the end of the Olympic game period, and I just wondered how many people realized the number of different events that Israel actually participates in. We hear about the judo, and we hear about the sailing and the rhythmic gymnastics, which we're very much still looking forward to, and I hope that there might be some medals. But Israeli Matan Roditi, this morning, in the early hours of this morning, was fourth in the 10-kilometer open water swim, missing out on a medal by only 23 seconds, which is a real shame. And again, as something that perhaps people weren't aware of, that Israelis are participating in these events. The Israeli baseball team was knocked out of the medal games yesterday when they lost to the Dominican Republic. So again, an interesting sport that you wouldn't necessarily associate Israel with. And American-Israeli Ashley Bond was participating in the show jumping event. She unfortunately didn't manage to get into the medal positions. But again, not a sport that you would necessarily associate Israelis with participating in.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's certainly not something I would have thought. Let's talk about something we would anticipate, is that the IDF attacked targets in Lebanon overnight after rockets were fired into Israel from Lebanon yesterday. What do we know?
Well, there were three missiles that were fired towards Israel yesterday afternoon, one of which actually landed not too far from Kiryat Shmona. There were bomb shelters were opened in the north yesterday, even though there are no particular instructions about behaving in a different way. People are free to go about their daily business, but bomb shelters have been opened due to this sudden rocket fire that we experienced yesterday afternoon. And this was then responded to by the IDF, who began yesterday with artillery fire towards targets over the border into Lebanon. And it continued through the night when Israeli fighter jets attacked targets in southern Lebanon early hours of this morning. And there was an IDF statement that was issued that confirmed that Air Force targeted areas from which rockets were fired during yesterday at Israel. And also there was another target that was attacked in the area from which rockets had been fired from in the past. So that's really what we know at the moment. This is a kind of an escalation because, you know, we've just seen a few isolated events of rocket fire coming from Lebanon, a few rockets over the border into Israel. A few yesterday, there was a few weeks ago, another event just before that. So certainly more rocket fire from Lebanon now than what we've seen for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And Air Force being used for the first time to attack targets actually in southern Lebanon, also for the first time. Not very clear exactly who is responsible for this rocket fire. Previously, we understood that there was some Palestinian renegade groups resident in that southern Lebanon area who were receiving instructions from Gaza to fire missiles into Israel from the north, as opposed to Hezbollah or as opposed to Lebanese government forces, even though Israel clearly holds the Lebanese government responsible for any rockets that come from Lebanese territory. Ironically, yesterday was the first anniversary, 1 year exactly, since that disastrous bomb exploded in Beirut, killing some 200 people and injuring many, many more. So it was exactly on the day of the anniversary that we see the rocket fire from Lebanon yesterday. I don't believe that this means a massive escalation on the border. I just think that it's an isolated event, and we're expecting to see more and more of these isolated events. One can, you know, try to line up and link the dots to try to create a story out of it, but I don't really think there is going to be any concerted attempt to create any real uprising, any real conflict on the northern border. Certainly Israel has no interest in doing so. And equally, I would imagine that Hezbollah and the Lebanese government also have no interest in seeing that. And yet we still have, you know, these isolated incidents. So I think that Israelis on the, in the north, just to be cautious, the IDF, of course, will be on alert as usual, but it will be business as usual.
Yeah, it's just, the escalations is the thing that just becomes really problematic, that this becomes more and more normal. And now you just wonder how long that'll go on for. But certainly let's hope that it won't.
It's really very difficult to try to predict, exactly how long this is going to go on for. But I think that this is going to be something that we're going to have to just accept going forward as being, you know, part of the groundwork, part of where we live, not to try, not to create more out of it than it really is. In other words, not to create a massive conflict out of something which is really just a whole series of isolated events.
Absolutely. The Israeli government has approved a state budget for the first time in 3 years. What's the main aspects of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, because between the last state budget that was approved was in 2018. And so, this has come as a very, very nice sudden change because as we went through that period where we had all the election uncertainty, no budget could have been approved under those circumstances. So finally, a budget was approved earlier this week. There was an overnight session to get the government to agree it. We are not yet at the end of the budget process because, of course, the budget needs to be approved by the Knesset. And in order for the rules to be adhered to, the Knesset needs to approve the budget by November the 4th. If by November the 4th we don't have a budget approved by the Knesset, then we could potentially be going to new elections. But it seems as if the process of approving the new budget was relatively calm, even though clearly there are always disagreements. There are always things that cause conflict, particularly within the type of coalition that we have, which is a relatively disparate coalition, many people with different interests within the government coalition. And yet, ultimately, the budget was passed unanimously by the government, which is a pleasing thing to see. Interestingly, the state's health ministry budget was raised to 2 billion shekels. That was one of the main changes that we saw, one of the most significant differences in the budget this time around, as opposed to last time around, where finally Prime Minister Naftali Bennett managed to get the government to approve the budget. He went out of his way to try to help the weaker sectors, and he was more concerned about future for our children. He also pointed to a number of plans that the government has for the future, including building the metro in Tel Aviv, increasing competition in food and kashrut sectors. And so there were quite a number of different changes all around in the budget, but it was finally approved by the government. And we certainly hope that it will be also approved by the Knesset when the moment comes for the Knesset to vote on it. A lot of changes within the details of the budget, but ultimately good news that the government has managed to approve it.
Absolutely. Defense Minister Benny Gantz has claimed that Iran is a mere 10 weeks away from a breakout to building a nuclear weapons. What does that mean, a breakout time?
Well, breakout time really means acquiring weapons-grade material that is required for building a nuclear weapon. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the nuclear weapon will be built within 10 weeks or can be built within 10 weeks. It just means that the weapons-grade material that's required as the critical ingredient for a nuclear weapon could be obtained within 10 weeks. And the reason that we're seeing this is because of this inertia that's been created around the Iranian nuclear agreement, while the U.S. and the P5+1 countries are arguing over whether the U.S. should re-enter or should not re-enter, Iran is just continuing to build whatever it needs to in the background, taking absolutely no notice of anything that's going on around. They're continuing, you know, to work on their nuclear program. They're continuing to do everything that they need to be as close as possible to that moment, to that breakout moment. And you know, Benny Gantz was the person who made diplomats aware of that. He told diplomats from the UN Security Council member states yesterday that, you know, just warned them that Iran is really this close to being in a position to have this weapons-grade material that it needs to build a nuclear weapon. Very, very concerning indeed, particularly with all the squabbling that's going on in the background, which all of which, of course, just allows Iran to continue to do what it needs to do or what it wants to do.
Yeah, but it is that, you know, I think it's Israel's biggest fear, certainly all of our biggest fear. This is the most, this is the existential threat.
It is potentially an existential threat. I mean, there are some discussions, disagreements over whether Iran truly represents an existential threat to the state of Israel or not. But if there was one, if we really believe that there is one, the biggest threat that exists that could potentially threaten the existence of the state of Israel, then it would certainly be Iran. I think that our IDF are ready for whatever might come from Iran. And I think that they would not allow Iran to get itself into a situation that it could actually threaten our existence or be in a position to threaten our existence directly. So, you know, I am a strong believer in the strength and in the amount of passion that we see within our army, the devotion that they have and how intent they are on protecting the state of Israel. But certainly it is the biggest threat that we have today.
And before I let you go, I think this is the most amazing story that Israel has published a tender to now build a sixth desalination plant. What's happening with this? When is this expected to go online?
Well, the Israel already, as obviously the story suggests, already has five working desalination plants together. The sixth one is due to be completed in 2025. So obviously, with the 4 years that's required, 3 to 4 years that's required to actually build these plants, one has to really be ahead of the game, be ready to build it now, in order to satisfy water requirements that will be evident within the next 3 to 4 years. And this plant, the sixth one that's due to go online, is due to be located in the Western Galilee, in order to supply water and improve the reliability of the water supply to the Haifa area, to the Western Galilee, and to the Upper Galilee area. So this plant will join existing plants that are already online in Ashkelon, Ashdod, Palmachim, Hadera, and Sorek. Those are the five desalination plants that are already in existence and working to produce water for the state of Israel. There can be little doubt in anybody's mind that desalination has really saved the state of Israel in terms of its water supply in a way that's just undeniable, because without those desalination plants, Israel would be in a dire situation in terms of water supply. So the foresight that people have had to build these plants ahead of time in order to give us the water that we need, and also the technology that's available, the funding that's been made available in order to build these plants, has definitely saved the state of Israel. Without them, we would definitely not have enough water to go around. More and more water is required, not only for domestic use, but of course for industrial purposes and for agricultural purposes. And to the extent that all of this water continues to be required, the desalination plants are really saving our country.
Absolutely.
No doubt at all.
Absolutely incredible. It's just about to go. 8 o'clock, Anthony Reich. Thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. And we, of course, will catch you next week.
And the same to you. Enjoy the rest of your birthday. Shabbat Shalom.